This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
In Sahih al-Bukhari, my brothers and sisters, there is a profound exchange that takes place between the two greatest human beings in this ummah after its prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he narrates about this incident between Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma. He says, one time we're sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu comes dashing in with his clothes on top of his knees, like he was in such a rush, he lifts it to run full speed, flustered, he barges in, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sees him. He sees Reverend Abu Bakr out of his element. And so he says, "Amma sahibukum faqad ghamar." Your friend has gotten into something. He's gotten himself into some drama. It's clear. He doesn't behave like this. And so Abu Bakr as-Siddiq immediately says, "Ya Rasulallah, I was having a conversation with Umar, and it sort of escalated, and I lost my temper, and I said something I shouldn't have said, and then I regretted it. I messed up, I upset Umar. Full stop." He noticed that he upset his brother. That's already a lesson to learn. He did not add insult to injury. It did not take him a month or a year or meeting him coincidentally at a janazah at some point 30 years later. I upset my brother. And admitting to your brother or about your brother or sister that you've upset them doesn't mean that you were necessarily wrong in your position that caused the argument. Some people say, "I don't want people to think I was wrong, and so I'm not going to admit that I've upset my brother or sister." That's not true. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was never unfair, he was never unjust, but at times his wives would get upset at him and he would tell them, "I'm noticing that you're upset at me." That's called magnanimous character. That's called leading by example. That's called true prophetic manhood as a quality, not just gender specific. When he used to come to Aisha radiallahu anha and he would say, "Oh Aisha, I know when you're pleased with me and I know when you're upset at me." Very famous hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. Meaning, without you even admitting it, I notice it. When you're pleased with me, you say, "I swear by the Lord of Muhammad." When you need to swear and I'm on your good side, you swear, "By the Lord of Muhammad." And when you're upset with me, you say, "By the Lord of Ibrahim." It's the same Lord, but I swear by the God of Abraham. She appreciated it so deeply, she would say, "La ahjuru aw ma ahjuru illa ismak." Believe me, I'm only giving up in those moments the use of your name. Meaning, you never left my heart, I'm just trying to like express my frustration. But he noticed. And if he noticed, then we gotta notice. Because he wasn't wrong, and if the whole world is upset with the Prophet ﷺ, it doesn't harm him, yet he still noticed. And he still made people realize that I care about your feelings. So Abu Bakr cared about the feelings of Umar. It has nothing to do with the issue they were arguing about. I upset my brother, and that is not right. Then he continued to say, "Ya Rasulallah, I regretted what I said, and so I rushed to his door, and I knocked on his door to seek an apology, to apologize, to seek his forgiveness, and he shut the door in my face." So why did Umar shut the door in his face? Umar was not ready to forgive him. When you want to repair a relationship, it's not on your clock. Sometimes, some people, most people, need time to forgive others. Right or wrong? It's not like, "Oh, I apologize, they didn't accept the apology," right? It's their problem now, right or wrong? This is how people think these days, with this sort of self-centered mindset. No, some people need time. You know, even Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu an, this is true, and of course some other factions may sort of misuse this hadith, but the hadith is true. He got upset at Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. He did keep it to himself. He still pledged allegiance to him after the Prophet's death, but he got upset because he didn't yet know why. How did you guys vote on a leader without me? Like, I'm the Prophet's cousin. People are talking that I'm like a nobody. Like, I'm chopped liver. I was busy washing the Prophet's body, alayhi salatu wasalam, and you guys went and had a council to pick the leader without me. He wasn't asking for leadership, but he was asking to at least have some be regarded. I deserve that much, and he certainly did. It was only months later when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq visited him in his house to pay respects to the loss of Fatima radiallahu anha. He explained to him, I was trying to prevent the civil war. The same way you had to wash the Prophet's body, it couldn't wait. I had to interrupt this infighting from happening, and they forced it on me. And that's when Ali radiallahu anhu publicly now resumed his relationship with Abu Bakr. People need time. Why did Yaqub alayhi salam tell his sons when they said, oh, our father, forgive us? At the end of the story, after everything they've done and decades of lies and cover-ups, they said, seek forgiveness for us, our father. Yaqub alayhi salam said what? سوف أستغفر لكم. I shall in the future. Why in the future? Some scholars said he wanted to wait to make sure they were genuine. You've lied before, right? One of the reasons could be I'm waiting for the end of the night to pray for you right before Fajr, the best time. It's not clear. One of the reasons could have been, I gotta wait and see. You gotta prove it to me. It's not just, hey, I'm sorry, take it or leave it. I gotta see it. So people, no matter who they are, deserve to be given time after we hurt them to find it in their heart to forgive us. Maybe they're just not ready, and we have to accept that. And so when he said this to the Prophet ﷺ, I knocked on Umar's door, and then he shut the door in my face. The Prophet ﷺ said to me, may Allah forgive you, Abu Bakr, may Allah forgive you, Abu Bakr, may Allah forgive you, O Abu Bakr. He reminded him of something that is even better than the forgiveness of Umar. If Allah forgives you, everything else is solvable, right? They will eventually forgive you, or Allah will compensate them on the Day of Judgment. But why did Abu Bakr go? I want you to think about this. Abu Bakr knows that, radiallahu an. Yes, a reminder helps refresh it, but he knows that because he escalated it to the Prophet ﷺ, not complaining of Umar, but wanting a resolution. He was asking for the Prophet's help to get Umar to forgive him. He wanted Umar to forgive him. And that is the whole issue. The number one ingredient to repairing our relationships, you have to want to do it. You have to really want it. Want resolution. It's not tit for tat. It's for Allah. No such thing as like have a nice life. The Prophet ﷺ even said, لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ بِالْمُكَافِئِ. You want to be in Allah's eyes, someone who kept ties with family? That's not the person, he said, المكافئ, who reciprocates. You did good by me, so I'm going to do good by you. You ignore me, I'm going to ignore you. That's not him. That's not her. He said, وَلَكِنَّ الْوَاصِلَ مَنْ إِذَا قُطِعَتْ رَحِمُهُ وَصَلَهَا. The one in Allah's eyes who's the keeper of ties is the one that when his family severs ties with him, he insists, he keeps wanting, keeps trying to rebuild ties with them. And it's not just family. The Prophet ﷺ reminded us that all of the believers are a single brotherhood. And before him, Allah did in the Quran, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. The believers are no less than a single brotherhood. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. So reconcile between your brothers. Mend those relationships between your brothers. It's going to take work. You got to want it. It's easier to damage things than to repair them. So rectify with your brothers. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And fear Allah if you want His mercy. If you really want it, then you want to reconcile between your brothers and sisters in Islam. And then also what you learn from the Abu Bakr here is that when he sought it from the Prophet ﷺ, you should also do that. Go tell someone who can help. I messed up, can you help? That takes crushing the ego a little bit more, right? Even in this scenario is when Islam permitted halal lying. When it doesn't come at the expense of anyone's rights, you're allowed to sort of Islamically defined white lie. Not culturally defined white lies. That is when you're allowed to lie because of the greater benefit of keeping that fabric intact and solidifying it. What we know in this hadith, as time is chasing me off the minbar now, and other narrations that sort of fill in the rest of the pixels behind this picture, is that Umar, after he shut the door in Abu Bakr's face, and Abu Bakr went running, complaining to the Prophet ﷺ, seeking his assistance. Umar then regretted it. I shouldn't have done that. He came all the way over here, humiliated himself in a sense at my door. So Umar went to Abu Bakr's house. What a beautiful companionship they had. He went to his house and he didn't find him there. And Umar is a wise man. He knows that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq only exists in two places. Either he's at home or he's in the masjid with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's no other place. So he went running to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and he entered. And when he entered, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's face changed. Became visibly angry. He refused to make eye contact with Umar. Umar is coming to him every angle, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah. And the Prophet ﷺ kept repeating, your brother comes to your door and you don't forgive him. Abu Bakr himself comes to you and you don't forgive him. To the point that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq himself, the one who came complaining, falls to his knees and repeats twice, Ya Rasulullah, Ana kuntul azlam. Ana kuntul azlam. Ana kuntu azlama minhu. I was more in the wrong than him. It was me, it was me. He felt bad for his brother. And that's called the bare minimum, by the way. You can be upset at whoever you want, even justifiably. But when your brother or sister are in trouble, there are rights you must dispense to them. When they are in need, you're still obligated to be there. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded us, the right of a Muslim upon any Muslim, when they give salam, you return the salams, right? When they die, you pray on them. When they're sick, you visit them. When they ask you for advice, you advise them sincerely and goodwill. Of the rights is that when they're in trouble, you come to their aid, whether you like them or you don't. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued to tell Umar, أَمَا أَنْتُمْ تَارِكُوا لِي صَاحِبِي. Won't you leave my companion alone? They're all his companions. But compared to Abu Bakr, that's a league of its own, of companionship, right? Between first and second place, there is too much of a distance. Won't you leave my companion for me? I came to you and said, oh people, I am the messenger of Allah. And you, meaning in general, said you lied. And Abu Bakr said you said the truth. And he supported me in those days with his wealth and with his family. Leave Abu Bakr alone. And in that is a final lesson for us all. When you get upset at someone, that does not give you the right to forget their virtue and to color them all with one brush. Nobility is recognizing the virtue, the history, the merits, the value of people, even when there's a rift, even when there's friction between you and them. Give people room to be human, even if they were Abu Bakr. رضي الله عن الجميع. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله. There is really so much more beauty. This is like a snapshot of the splendid nature of the true suhbah. Brothers, fill in the gaps as best you can, inshallah. We'll be done in 3-4 minutes, bi-ithnillah. Let's bear a little bit of tightness so that our brothers and sisters don't have to bear standing altogether outside. This is just a microcosm, a sample of the suhbah of Abu Bakr and Umar. And so it is a reminder for us all. I cannot imagine there being someone in the masjid today who cannot spend 2-3 minutes in their car on their way home or back to work or wherever you need to get to and not see a place where you can apply this right now with someone close or a little farther from you. That's what we do, right? When we say, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, the path of those you favored, you should intend by that Abu Bakr. That's of the earliest people that should come to your mind. Because Allah said, whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, they're going to be with those whom Allah favored. أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. From the prophets, وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ. And he is the utmost Siddiq within this ummah. He is the greatest of Siddiqs. So when you say أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ, you mean Siddiqs, you mean Abu Bakr. Oh Allah, allow me to be a little bit like Abu Bakr. Give me the strength, oh Allah, to stop telling myself the relationship's over. Give me the strength, O Allah, to make it work. We've seen through Abu Bakr and Umar that our deen gave us a framework where it can be effective. and it has been effective. So my brothers and sisters, rectify your relationships. Never submit to the whisper that it's over. It's not over. So long as we have a breath left in us to rectify our deen, we will rectify our relationships to meet Allah with them, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. O Allah, forgive us for what only you know about us. O Allah, end the wars and conflicts and cycles of tensions within us. O Allah, protect us and guide others through us. O Allah, grant us life so long as you know that life is good for us. And put us to death whenever you know that death is better for us.